as we welcome Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan into the studio with us. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Lori.
You join us the second and fourth Tuesday following City Council meeting
last night.
Let's go over, I guess, the work session first. And there was discussion to repeal, basically remove the fluoride from our city water, and that was a resolution as well. So it passed?
It did not. Actually, we ended up discussing it. I think there was some confusion. We had asked to put it on the work session agenda instead of the city council.
I see.
And then it just got mixed up and got put on city council, too. This is something that we have revisited several times over the throughout the history of having this ordinance on the books. But we have people that will call us quite often and say, hey, there's a lot of information on the internet about fluoride, and the buildup in your system can cause some health concerns.
Yes.
So we have people will call and say, why are you using fluoride? We want to remove it. And so I wanted to have that discussion with the council, because we have had some council members who've heard from folks and have expressed some interest. So we did put that on the council work session to discuss. And after some conversation, and they were able to do some of their own research, they decided they did not want to, pull fluoride from our water system. They preferred to leave it in. And that comes from some things they've looked at, talking about the amount of tooth decay that you can see when you pull fluoride from your system. We have, over the years, cut the amount of fluoride we're using in the system, because we know that there is some health concerns associated with it. There is also some concerns we have about our employees handling fluoride, but they obviously take all the precautions they need to, and they're trained to handle, to handle fluoride as they're putting it in our system. But again, they decided that we would, we would continue to treat our water with fluoride, and it would stay, it would stay in the system.
So a vote is not needed on that?
It is not.
It would have been only to repeal it?
To repeal it, correct.
Okay, interesting. Do you plan on getting more public input from that?
I mean, if people want to give us some more public input, I mean, that's fine. I know, probably I would say maybe 6-7 years ago it came up, and Dr. Barry Booth came in and spoke. And, there are some things that you can look at online from the Dental Association that says that, it's better for the kids.
It's good for the teeth.
It is
the rest of the body we're worried
about. There is. But a lot of, when they started introducing fluoride into the water system, you didn't have fluoride in your toothpaste. So there are other sources that you can get fluoride from. There are a lot of people, too, who drink bottled water or filter their water that filters out the fluoride, and bottled water does not contain it. So, I don't know that there is probably – there could be people who only drink tap water. Kevin Boone. Councilman Boone said that he only drinks tap water, but for the most part, I think that people are getting it from other sources, not so much from the water.
Then why leave it in?
The council opted this, said they wanted to do that, and there is again some studies online that say if you remove it, you'll see a 25% increase in tooth decay in your community, and some different things, and they feel like the benefits outweigh the risk.
Okay, very good. There was discussion about the greens resurfacing at Quail Creek Golf Course after some erroneous care or oversight.
Right.
And Jay Robinson told us yesterday that the greens were recovering pretty nicely, thanks to Tom Johnson.
That's correct. Tom has been here. Yesterday was his 3-month anniversary, and Tom is just very educated in the care of grass, agronomy, and does a great job and has done a great job recovering those greens. So we do not feel the need at this time for us to have to redo any of the greens. We still have the temporary greens there. We're still growing in some of the greens, so the play will stay as it is for right now. He did talk about the need to put maybe some split drains in on some of the holes, but again, they are recovering very nicely, and we feel like come September that we'll see a beautiful golf course. The fairways are already looking great, and I mean, Tom said last night, he put them up against any golf course around.
That's good.
So, yeah,
the rain helped.
Rain helped. The temperature helped. Getting the temperature, the hot days and everything. But they're recovering very nicely. He's getting lots of compliments and doing a fantastic job.
And speaking of water and rain, how's our water consumption after we were, asked to voluntarily cut back, and it looked like we were going to do a mandatory.
That's right.
Cut back.
We are actually doing great, and I think this weekend we'll even do even better, it sounds like. No, we're averaging anywhere between 5 and 6 million gallons a day of usage, so which tells us that, we had a lot of people who were probably using water for irrigation, which is okay, but until you need to conserve. But again, we have not even topped 7 million gallons. So again, we're doing really well on that.
That's good. Very good. Before we get on to the city council agenda, can we clear up the Hatch and K1 Center confusion. Yeah. The press release was apparently written maybe by Hatch or the Economic Development. And so my first thought and many other people's thoughts were, wait a minute, what about the Performing Arts Center? What about this? What about that? Right. So would you like to clarify?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And we will, the city will put out another press release, but we'll probably do that when we work out a lease agreement with Baldwin County EDA for that space. This is possible because of Baldwin County Economic Development Alliance. This is something they've been working on for a while, was this EDA grant and how they could partner with the city to be able to, refurbish that space and be able to utilize it, plus get them and have the money to do it.
$2.5 million.
Yes. And the building will stay with the city. We're not giving them the building at all. The improvements will stay with the city. So this is a way for us to partner with them to be able to renovate that building, to probably get some office space ourselves, because this is going to be a lot available. We don't know what that looks like yet because we haven't worked out that lease, but we will keep the property, we will maintain the property, we will do a lease agreement with Hatch, and our plan is, there, if anybody's familiar with that piece of property, they're basically going to use the U shape. So if you walk in the building, the left and right hallways, and then the rest of it will be capped off, and then we are going to come up with a master plan hopefully next year in 2023 to be able to build a performing arts center behind that. Is the plan right now.
Okay.
And we just discussed that publicly last night.
Very good, very good. And those can be seen, by the way, on the City of Fair Oaks YouTube channel at any time.
That's
you can
correct.
Watch the meetings live, or you can watch them later. Any public reaction to the public hearing for the Cordy Rockwell Place rezoning? It's 34 acres, requesting to be annexed and zoned at 181 and 104.
Yeah, there was some discussion on that last night. And again, that is, a high traffic area, and people are obviously concerned with the growth. So we did have one lady speak out about the growth in that area and also about traffic. But again, if you're going to have commercial development, that's where you want to see it, is in that corridor there. I know there's some people who are concerned about traffic and things entering and exiting off of 181. There are two traffic lights slated on 181 in addition to the intersection light right now. If you're headed north, there'll be one there at the Waters and probably one near the Publix exit and where this development will be. But there is also an internal road that runs along those developments that are going on the east side of 181, and so that will not allow those folks, almost like a service road, so those folks will not enter or exit from 181.
And two, like Jay and I were mentioning yesterday, they can build it
if they want,
or without the city.
It's
to the city's advantage for it to be annexed in.
That's correct. And again, from not only from a financial perspective with the, taxes and impact fees and all that kind of stuff, but also just because they have to meet our regulations. So, and again, we have the Waters that's in our city limits. Publix will be in our city limits because they've annexed, and the out parcels there. Harvest Green, which is a development that's going in north of there. So, that's a lot of commercial development that we're going to benefit from.
Yes. I'm going to skip on to, 13. Or do you want to mention about the hurricane operations plan, number 10? Do you want
to? I would be happy to.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. So this is just really housekeeping. So in the past, we've had a lot of turnover in employees in the past several years. And in the past, it's kind of always been an unwritten rule that if you worked for the city, you knew that if there a hurricane was coming or if there was a named storm, that you had, if you got sent home because there was a declaration of emergency or a disaster or a hurricane was coming, that you had to report back in within a certain amount of time. That's your duty as a city employee. That was not written anywhere. So, if it's not written in your handbook, then you really can't enforce it. And we had some issues during Sally, even though I had not taken office. I was working alongside the city employees and knew what those issues were, and just knew that before we had a storm come through that we need to go ahead and clarify this for our employees and set, lay out our expectations as a city. So this was just basically housekeeping.
Okay. All right. And resolution number 13, did that pass to select Thompson Engineering to do landscaping and architectural services for the Triangle property?
It did. That was for the, the Go Mesa grant, which is right at $1 million. And that is to start the development of the 108 acres there we have at the entryway to the city. With trails and a trailhead and there'll be a lot going on in that area, because we also further down awarded the engineering for the roundabout at 104 and Triangle Drive. So our 104 Triangle Drive and Veterans Drive. Mm-hmm. So excited about moving forward. I mean, that's one of those projects, one of those legacy projects that we've been trying to push forward for a number of years, and just really excited to start this process.
That roundabout, we were saying, has been discussed for many years and
yes,
maybe even approved by vote back in the Debbie Quinn, yes, and Dan Stankowski days. And that's the roundabout right by the flower clock.
That's correct.
That was where that will take place. What's the timeline on that?
To be honest, Lori, I don't know right now. I'd have to check on that. We did a lot of work on that to begin with, but obviously things have changed in that area somewhat, mm-hmm, so they'll probably have to do a little bit more re-engineering. But we really want to hopefully be able to coordinate the work there at that Triangle property with the work at the roundabout. So you know all that's happening at the same time.
Right. And another roundabout, County Road 13 and 44.
Right.
And that's going to be with Dewberry Engineers?
Right, and this is just for the utility relocates.
That's right, because this is a county.
It's a county project, county, okay, and this is just really a pass-through cost for us. So
I see.
We pay it, then the county reimburses us for the utility locates. So that's, mm-hmm, just a pass-through. But yes, I told him last night I was getting a little bit of anxiety looking at all these traffic projects, because we had the Greeno Road turn lanes, which will be similar to what we did at Twin Beach.
When is that? And was that on the agenda?
It's on the agenda.
Oh, here it is, number 14. There it is. Okay.
So, and that one will probably could start pretty quickly. I'd like to get Fairhope Avenue complete, obviously, before we start that one. So probably, a month or so. But again, all those traffic things started giving me anxiety, because I know all the calls that I'm going to get for all the detours and everything.
Right,
so,
right.
But these are good things that are happening and things that are necessary for us to do.
And for those that aren't familiar, number 14 is rebidding. It's turn lane for Gayfer Avenue at 98, just exactly what was done at Twin Beach.
That's correct. And this is an MPO project, so it's funded, by the MPO. But it is, again, another good project to add some turn lanes there, so people don't have to sit and wait as long as those lights.
Right, right, okay. And a resolution to amend the budget, was that to allow for the raises for the employees and whatnot?
It was not. Again, this was more housekeeping. So, for instance, last night it was discussed in the work session that the golf course wants to purchase a batwing mower, which will allow them, it's kind of a finishing mower versus a real mower, and will allow them to mow a larger area of the course. Just really help with the maintenance, because their maintenance staff is they just don't have a very they don't have a lot of people in maintenance at the golf course, so this will help with that maintenance and help them not spend so much time mowing. But there was two line items, two general ledger numbers that had excess money into it, and they just needed to move that money around so there's money in small equipment that they could purchase that mower. It's the same thing that happened in a few other departments. HR had some money in training they weren't going to need, so they moved it to general supplies. So, mm-hmm, it really didn't increase the budget or anything. It just kind of moved some money around.
Then how do the pay raises, where do those go? I mean,
they're being absorbed in the budget.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're speaking with Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan here at WABF. It is 8:39 and 80 degrees. I was just reading over the city e-newsletter when you walked,
yes,
in. And tell folks how they can get a copy of that, and anything you want to highlight that is in the letter.
Yeah, so the newsletter, you can sign up online to receive that just on our website. You can also call, you could call actually the Nick Center and ask to speak to Courtney, and Courtney can add your email to the list. But we have probably about 3,000 people that we email that out to. And we're trying to keep people really up to date. The one thing that's in there this time that I'd like to mention is the payment options that we now have available. You know, we have a system that can be a little bit cumbersome for people to make online payments if you're not already signed up for that. So this makes it a little bit easier. Also, we had stopped taking payments over the phone just because we didn't feel like that for security purposes that we needed to do that. So this will allow you to be able to do that. There's also options for you to Venmo. I mean, there's a lot of options with this new system that we're offering that you can make payments.
So once again, you go to the city's website, mm-hmm, and
right,
then you follow the prompts, and it does say, it does warn, like I, for instance, I do auto pay, but I signed up with a credit card or debit card, so I'm going to have to re-register.
That's correct.
And it says if you went an ACH account, a presumed checking account, then you don't have to re-register.
But if you do it with a credit card or debit card, you would need to re-register. And if you have any questions, again, they gave you a number that you can call, or you can call City Hall and they can help you as well.
You can even pay by text, it says. How cool is that?
We're finally offering some options that I think people are looking for these days.
Oh, and for those that do want to pay by phone, there's a toll-free number and a secure way.
That's
okay,
correct.
Very nice.
Correct. We did also last night award. We did the council did approve the K-1 Center grant. We had 18 days to do that from the date of award, so they did. We added that to the agenda last night, and were able to do that and discussed what we discussed earlier. So
okay, all right.
Excited about that.
And then you have a note on the Fairhope Avenue sewer project, as well as the Church Street infrastructure project.
Right. We are, we're drawing to a, hopefully to a near close on that project on Fairhope Avenue. We think we have 3 to 4 more weeks, depending on weather. Think we'll probably have more. It's more like 3 weeks, hopefully. So get that done before school starts and not have to impede traffic there. And then, of course, the Church Street project continues down Church Street, and we will, again, hope that will be finished by September, so weather permitting. I think they've been able to do some paving over there and just continue, you know, moving forward with that project also.
Okay. And we had a notice that tonight, unless it's storming, Morphe will be closed between Section and Church at 5:30 this evening for 5 or 6 hours for some gas department work.
That's right.
I saw Sergeant Nolte, Lieutenant Sergeant, Sergeant Nolte on TV the other night interviewing about golf cart safety after the city or the police department recently issued a statement reminding folks.
Right. Yeah, golf carts are, you know, a big issue for us here. Obviously, we know how traffic is, how crowded our streets are, and we have a lot of underage folks driving around on golf carts. Even if they're with a parent, they cannot drive that golf cart. Parents need to be aware of that, and the police are trying to crack down on it as much as they can. And again, you know, making sure those carts are street legal, making sure you're wearing your seat belts and doing the things that you need to do to obey the laws of the road. But again, you know, it's really important for us to keep, especially the kids, safe, and just they're not allowed to drive it if they're not licensed drivers.
That's right. And you also announced in the newsletter that the city crews will be mosquito control spraying now weekly between 4 and 8 p.m.
That's correct.
Do I remember, what is the spray? Isn't it some kind of a cedar?
It's a cedar oil, so it's organic.
That's what I thought. Okay.
And yeah, and a lot of people, you know, you can debate that. I know there's people who have, you know, asthma or different things, and they don't, you know, want it sprayed around them, which we have a list of those folks. But again, it is organic. It's something that's not going to be harmful to you or to our environment or to the bees or anything like that. So people just be aware of that. But we do need to spray for mosquitoes. I know my yard in particular, I feel like I've been holding a lot of water, and I feel like they're awful. So I'm glad that we're able to get that back on a regular basis and spray.
Good. And the newsletter, it also mentions that the City of Fairhope is hiring.
We are. And you can, again, find those employment opportunities on our website. And there's a link in the newsletter, the e-newsletter that was sent out that people can just click on. But we do have several jobs open. And, again, I mean, I'm kind of biased, but I think the city's a great place to work.
Absolutely.
I make a point of visiting with the new hires in orientation and, you know, run into them and ask them how things are going. And, you know, most people are really happy to be there, and they know that the city's a great place to be. And especially for those of us who, you know, are able to live in Fairhope and then work close by, it's really nice benefit.
And I think one of the last things on the newsletter is a reminder of the free golf cart shuttle.
That's right. It operates daily from 10 to 2, and it's housed right there at the parking deck. Again, all you have to do is call 251-850-6348, and Mr. Mickey will pick you up and take you to where you'd like to go. And it's just a great service that we're offering. I think with all the construction downtown, it was a nice enhancement that we have. And, you know, we don't see as many people on there as we'd like to see taking advantage of it. But again, it's handicap accessible, so it is available to all, and he's happy to give you a ride if you need one.
And that's Monday through Friday, 10 to 2. The number, again, if you don't see him in the parking garage, is 850-6348. And in case you're on a time limit, we'll We'll hurry, but you've got coffee with the mayor coming up. This is something you've started doing every couple of months.
I do, and really excited to be doing this. We do it between 9 and 10, and it's every other month, and we're kind of moving around town. We've been to Quail Creek, been to the Tennis Center. This month, on July 19th, we'll be at the James P. Nick Center between 9 and 10, and that's open to anybody, not just members of the Nick Center, anybody who'd like to come. And it just gives a good time for those people who don't feel comfortable maybe coming to the office and asking questions or coming to a council meeting. If there's things that you want to know about, this gives you the opportunity to come and have some one-on-one time, because basically the format is I give maybe a 15-minute update on what's going on in the city, cover financials, some construction projects, and then just really open it up for questions and answers. Kind of makes me a little nervous sometimes to do that, because you never know what kind of questions you're going to get. But they've been really well attended, and people have been really happy to be able to have that opportunity.
There's also one in September and November. We'll keep you up to date. And I believe this Thursday is our last farmers market for this season.
It will be. It's getting a little too hot for everything to be growing, so we'll be back in the fall. But yes, and the farm market is just something that's so well attended and people really look forward to every year.
Very good. You mentioned financials. Is there anything you'd like to include in this interview before we wrap up?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, the city obviously is doing well financially. We had our audit report about a month ago, and doing really well. The employees are doing a good job keeping expenses down. And you asked about the salaries earlier. You know, we're able to absorb those costs in our salary budget, current salary budget, because we have not, you know, there's positions that we haven't filled, some of that kind of stuff. So we're not going to see a burden from that next year. We'll have to budget for it. But this year so far, we're doing okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Mayor. Anything
else?
Thank
you, Lori. Nope, I don't think so.
All right. Thank you so much for your time. Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan joining us generally the second and fourth Tuesday following a Fairhope City Council meeting. It is 848 and 80 degrees. WABF, good morning.